The following podcast is scheduled for one awesome show with a time limit of 60 minutes. And now, without further ado, here are your hosts.
Dead Man Walking.
And welcome to Grapple Talk. This is episode number 40. Wow, what a milestone, guys. Episode number 40 of Grapple Talk. It's crazy.
Been 40 episodes, and we got a lot more coming your way.
It's been 40, Jesse. It's been like 10 for you or something.
This has to be kind of an anniversary for you too. I mean, you've been around for a while now.
Yeah, it feels nice. You know, we're on 40 episodes of freedom, right, guys?
40 episodes of freedom. What is that? Is that a
come on?
Is
it Sublime reference?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I knew you. Sublime reference. Okay. Cool beans. Huh? You say that
hey,
sometimes.
You
say
that I
sometimes.
I see what you did there.
Yeah,
he says that sometimes.
I say it a lot. That's true.
I don't have a coin term yet. I don't know. Besides. Just cussing uncontrollably, but
I think
f*** is mine. Yeah,
now, yep.
F*** you, AC Riley. Anyway, so I want to get back to the show. We got a big show obviously lined up, talking about these shows coming up this weekend. Also sitting down with our contest winner. How many people voted? Some upper 200.
225
yeah.
Votes.
Yeah, wow, that's a good amount.
Quite a
bit. That's quite. You know, at first I'm not gonna lie, when we were talking about it, I was like. You know, I don't think that many people are going to vote. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh.
I'll be honest, I was going to be happy if we got 100. And then I was counting votes like 2 weeks away and it was like 150. And so it was really surprising to see 225.
Definitely exceed. The rookie won out, and we'll be sitting down with him later on in the show, Max Pride. But before we do that, we'll get to the shows coming up this weekend.
Midwest area, here are some of the upcoming shows.
3XW, that's 3X Wrestling's King of Des Moines 2014. Guys, went to 3XW, man, how long ago was that? Like 3 months ago, 4 months ago?
No, it was like 2 months ago.
That's it?
It was like back in June.
Oh, right. Yeah. I just paid you the other half of gas money that I owed you for like 2 months. 3XW's King of Des Moines 2014. It's going to be on Friday at the Come and Go Theater, 901 Cherry Street in Des Moines, Iowa. It's a tournament. So they have the King of Des Moines tournament. In the first round, you're going to see the 2009 tournament winner, Jimmy Rockwell, taking on Devin Thomas, two guys that I think we got to see when we were down there. Also in the first round, Hype Gotti taking on Money Matt Cage. You guys remember Hype Gotti?
Remember Hype Gotti?
At first, I hated that guy, and then he came out, and I saw him working, and I was like, well, this is...
You got hyped up.
I got hyped up. He hyped me up. Hype Gotti hyped me up.
Are you still hyped?
I kind of toned down a little bit, but... also in the first round, there's going to be a mystery entrant. I wonder who that could be. Hulk Hogan, maybe?
Hulk Hogan.
Probably not
going to
be Hulk
Hogan. It's going to be you.
Nope.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Taking on the 2011 tournament winner, Ryan Slade. King of Des Moines, tournament first round bye from winning the King of the Mountain match. He will not be participating in the first round because he has that bye. That'll be Nate Redwing. Also, the Pure Championship, Pure Wrestling Championship, will be on the line as Malachi Matthews takes on the unbreakable Zach Thompson. Zach Thompson was in the ladder match, if you guys remember that. Doors open at 7, bell time's at 7:30. VIP ticks are $15 in advance or 18 at the door. Otherwise, adults are 12 in advance, 15 at the door. Kids 4 to 10 are $5, and kids 3 and under get in for free. That's 3XW's King of Des Moines. I wanted to say wrestling really bad. 3XW's King of Des Moines 2014, Come and Go Theater, 901 Cherry Street in Des Moines, Iowa. What's going on Saturday?
Saturday we have Funky Monkey Wrestling. It's fun for the whole family. Saturday, September 6th at the Latin American Social Club on 2708 Lincoln Way in Sterling, Illinois. You're going to see the Funky Monkey Championship will be on the line as Judd the Janitor takes on Dixieland Destroyer. Which one of these guys is actually the champion at this point?
Yeah, that's a good question because it doesn't really say on the poster.
Well, it doesn't say on the sheet either. Also, you're going to see the high-flying tag team sensation Zero Gravity, who we actually saw at First Wrestling.
Yeah.
They will be making their Funky Monkey debut. And also debuting is Nick Burbranker. He's taking on none other than Rough Crossing. And of course, the show starts at 6:05, which used to be the old start time for WCW Saturday night.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's pretty neat. It was 6:05 exactly?
6:05, yep.
Why is that?
I don't know. Like, Turner always had, like, a weird thing where they always had, like, an extra 5 minutes on the show before, so it always started 5 minutes late. And
weird.
We just kept with it.
Not a bad thing, though. I kind of enjoy when it goes the next hour. It makes me excited. Like, whenever, you know, WWE, they always end, like, 5 minutes into the next hour. Mm-hmm. So you're always like, what's going to happen in this extra 5 minutes? And then sometimes it's nothing.
Yeah, sometimes it's just talking.
Yeah, sometimes it's like Brock Lesnar standing over John Cena with his belts. That was my Brock Lesnar impression. Sorry, isn't it more like... Ah!
No, it's more like, you know, growing up Bella, right?
Oh, that's... Okay, fair enough.
Well, anyways, on Sunday, September 7th, we'll see Pro Wrestling All-Stars of Detroit Days of Destruction. The heavyweight title's on the line as the world's only one-legged wrestler, Zach Gowen, takes on the current champion, Officer Rod Street. Plus, you'll see all of your other favorite PWAS superstars, such as Randy West or Joseph Schwartz, the Hebrew Hammer.
PWAS?
PWAS, yes. Show starts at 2. It's an afternoon show, and it's free admission. It's for the River Road Days Festival. That's on 10600 West Jefferson Avenue in River Road, Michigan.
That's pretty cool. Nice. You know, those are cool, guys. On there is a WrestleFest kind of going on. It's Absolute Intense Wrestling's Wrestle Rager 2014. It's going to be happening all 3 days. You don't see this a lot with shows anymore, but it's cool because, I mean, then it's kind of like a built-up anticipation rather than just one night you can go catch a bunch of really good shows. excuse me.
All right.
Yeah, it's like Mr. Sacco is in my mouth. Presented by WWUJD.com. Where you're going to see, it's in Cleveland, Ohio. Turner Hall, 7325 Guthrie Ave. Johnny Gargano, Cole Cabana, Candice LeRae, Eddie Kingston will be there all 3 days. Michael Elgin. Is it Elgin? Elgin?
I think it's Elgin.
Elgin. Yep. Michael Elgin.
Ring of Honor champion.
Oh, well, that's embarrassing. Yep. I probably just, you know, there goes my shout-out, Ring of Honor. Yeah. Friday and Sunday only, he'll be there. Tracy Smothers and Cliff Compton there Saturday and Sunday only. Abyss will be there on Sunday. Huh. And just, you know, to give you an idea of when these shows are, Friday, you can see their show, that's September 5th at 7:30. Saturday will be at 6. Sunday it will be at 6. So it's a 7:30 start time, a 6 p.m. start time, a 6 p.m. start time. It's $20 each day. Otherwise, you can order the tickets online for $50 and get all 3 days, so you save yourself $10 there. All seats are general admission, and online pre-orders are admitted first. So kind of like 3XW, guys. You know, when we went to the show, if you pre-ordered, you get to go in before everybody else pick your seats. And you save money, I mean, when you do it. So why wouldn't you want to order online? Details and tickets online at AIWrestling.com. That always screws me up. I want to say AIW Wrestling, but it's AI Wrestling.com.
Yeah, well, because we're so used to other companies in our area always doing, like, you know, the three initials and then wrestling as well. It kind of goofs you up after a while.
Yeah, it does goof. Yeah, just a little bit. But, guys, I mean, big show, and, you know, one thing I kind of want to talk to you guys about today is, like, we don't see this very often, but, you know, Jesse, you know, being the wrestle historian you are, yeah, don't give me that face. Oh, God, don't do that. I'll come over there, man. Challenge you to a match at SummerSlam. But, no, but seriously, how do you think it helps as far as, you know, doing these kind of, like, fests where you have 3 days of wrestling in a row opposed to, you know, just the one-off night that you might have on a, you know, Saturday? I like most wrestling promotions.
Oh, I think you're doing it like three nights in a row type of thing. You can really grow your product that way. There might be people who can only make a Friday show. There might be people who only can make a Saturday show. There might be people who only can make a Sunday show. And like breaking it up and having like people who are going to be available there for all 3 days, or just talent is only going to be there for 2 days, or talent is going to be there for 1 day, almost makes it like, man, I want to go to that show too. Throw down my $50 right now for the pre-sale tickets. It's really kind of a cool event because you can. It's almost like a Comic-Con type of thing. It's like there's always something going on. You can't miss the party, and that's exactly what it is. It's a huge wrestling party for not only the wrestlers, but for the fans as well.
And that's a good way to put it, but I mean, AC Riley, I got to ask you, you know, from the business aspect of it, what if your shows don't sell as well, and you do 3 days of shows, and you also have three that tank? I mean, that's got to mean something, right?
Oh yeah, definitely, and that's one of the problems too that you would have, is that you're investing all this money. You look at guys like Johnny Gargano, Michael Elgin, Abyss, Tracy Smothers, all these guys that, you know, I'm sure cost a pretty penny, and if you're not really drawing a lot of attendance, then yeah, that's gonna suck. I mean, I always know that Absolute Intense Wrestling usually has a really great turnout, and I'm sure they're really not too worried about how the turnout's going to look out this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the card, I mean, it's definitely a, if you're available, it doesn't seem like why you'd want to miss something like that. But yeah, it looks like a pretty good card, and
are you getting a Wrestle Rager right now?
I'm getting a Wrestle. Is that why you think that's why it's called Wrestle Rager?
I think it might be.
Oh, that's weird.
I don't think it is.
You don't think so?
No. I think it has something to do with it.
No, I think it's a rager because it's like a party, you know?
What are you doing?
I'm dancing.
Stop it.
Come on.
You don't dance. You can't dance on radio shows.
Yeah, you can.
Knock it off. Knock it off.
You can.
No. Anyways, so let's move on to another topic I want to touch on really quick before we get Max Pride in here. Me and AC Riley talked about this a little bit, and we're going to try to hook it back into indie wrestling as far as just developing your talent and stuff at a local level. But we were talking about how I saw a report or something, you know, and you can never believe these spit sheets anymore, but something about like John Cena being out 6 to 8 weeks, maybe a neck injury or something. And then I was like, well, who's the next face in line? It's like, well, Daniel Bryan. Where's Daniel Bryan right now? He's gone. And it's like, well, who's the next face after that? Dean Ambrose. Where's Dean Ambrose right now? He's gone. So we were kind of talking about how it seems like right now the WWE could be lost as far as having that top tier face to kind of, you know, bring the company along, go take on Brock Lesnar, stuff like that. They might be in sort of a la-la period. But talking about indie wrestling, you know, it goes the same way too, as far as, you know, trying to really advertise that local talent so that you can sell to people that, you know, coming to your show and stuff like that. How important do you think that is to try to, you know, build up not only one person on your roster, but build up the entire card from top to bottom?
It's got to be very important, because what you're doing is, if you're building your talent right and you're building your roster right and you're building your company right, everyone's going to shine. You're not going to have just one person just go out there and they're not going to be able to grow. You know, they're just there to fill up bodies. If you have people there to just fill up bodies, you're not doing it right. You got to think of the show from start to finish is a big story. And that goes on to the next story, and that goes on to the next one, and next one, and next one. So you can always build around other people. Now, you might have like three people you're just like, oh, these are my three guys. I'm going to build everything around that. Well, even the people around those three guys, you have to keep on building, because if you're not building around those guys, they're not going to be that strong, those three core guys. It's one of the problems I think WWE actually fell into when they were building up Cena. Basically, it was Cena and Orton, and they had a couple guys around the edges.
Right.
Well, then what happened over time, like, you lost those guys. Like, Batista left. Edge retired. Eddie Guerrero died. Chris Benoit, you know, we all know what happened there.
Boop.
You know, it's you had those things kind of fall apart, and that really hurt the main event scene.
Right.
You know, that's why you see a lot of indie companies, I think, really kind of take the bull by the horns and make sure none of that happens, where people leave for any specific reason. I know there was a couple issues at one point in time where we heard talent get booked to other places and they couldn't make their bookings even though they were a company champion. It's like, well, if people are actually going to invest that time in you to be the champion, you make sure you make those bookings. You know, it's a complicated situation, but I think a lot of guys are actually really smart on the indie scene, and they make sure they don't get themselves in that type of pickle.
Right.
No, I agree completely, and that's one of the things, too, you know, with any situation, even with work. I mean, if you are, you know, doing something where you're really important to where that company is, and you leave, and nobody's really there to replace you, then the company kind of starts to fall under just because nobody knows how to do your job.
Right.
So that's one thing I've noticed with that. Yeah, definitely.
Right. I mean, it kind of seems like, you know, at a lot of different companies, that's the main part. Because instead of, like, WWE, where they have this talent given to them, it seems like when you're an independent, you know, promoter, you're bringing in talent for specific reasons. Like, you're not just bringing in Joe Schmo off the street to do this. You're bringing in a guy, you know, because you have to make your show from the ground up. So when you're calling around to make your show, it seems like you almost have that idea where you'd want to make a match or make some sort of a story or do something, as far as there's a reason you're bringing somebody in, not just to fill a card.
It's like that point, you know, when we've done a lot of shows and stuff like that. It's like, oh, make sure you put a mask. We might need a body for a battle royal. It's like, you don't want to go there.
Yeah.
You don't want to go that route.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, all these guys are independent contractors, and they're only going to get better if they get more books, and they're only going to get more books by being themselves.
Right.
So make sure you give everyone an opportunity to succeed on a level playing field. Otherwise, your company, maybe on a bottom line, is not going to succeed.
Exactly. And that's a really good point that you just bring up, too. It's like the fact that, you know, bringing extra gear for other gimmicks, it's like, why do you even need to have that match if you need other people to suit up twice when that's unnecessary? It's like, is it standard to have six matches for an indie show? Like, do you need to have six? Do you need to have eight?
If you don't have eight,
do you need to put together two random guys?
I think you can actually have an indie show with five matches.
Hey, but with like three.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter.
If you build your card right, it shouldn't really matter as long as you're giving the fans exactly what they came to see.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's been shows we've been at that have been like 4.5 hours long, and we're like, oh my God, when is this ending? No offense, anybody. it's happened
yeah,
before.
Yeah, it happens. We've been on shows where it's like 30 minutes and you're like, wow, that ended quick.
Yeah, right? But it's like, oh, it was a good show. You know, they did what they needed to do. Speaking of doing what they needed to do, that's exactly what Max Pride did this year.
Nice. I see what
year.
You did there.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, nice. Coined that. Max Pride able to get his friends and fam to try to vote him on. Of course, you know, fans as well voted Max Pride on. But he'll be our spotlight guest for episode number 40. He's coming up in just a little bit. And since, you know, Max Pride used to have a different moniker, I think we're going to lead off with some good old Lion King. You're listening to Gravel Talk. Spotlight Squared Circle is next. Max Pride. Stick it here.
For centuries, idols, kings, virtuosos, laughter, happiness, This fall, one of Milwaukee's legends will rise to walk in the sun again. That legend is Mondo Lucha.
If you have a drum set, bust it out, because it's the moment that you've been waiting for. It's Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
After 225 volts were tallied, Max Pride got number one. And Max, welcome to Gravel Talk, and thanks for you for joining us today.
Thank you, guys. It's good to be here.
Well, one of the things that everybody has been talking about is that since you're a rookie sensation, you don't, a lot of people don't think you have a lot to offer to the table. But just for the people that don't know who you are, give us a little introduction about yourself.
My name's Max Pride. I've been in the business a little over a year, if you count from the time I showed up to my first show, which was June 29, 2013. It was a Now That's What I Call Wrestling show in Manitowoc.
Okay.
And I was lucky enough to get in the ring, which was a surreal experience in itself, and get bumped around a little bit before the show. And ever since then, it's been a fun little ride, and I'm here now.
Let's talk about it. I mean, man, you just breaking into the business. I mean, you look young. I mean, why did you want to get into the business in the first place?
Well, I've been a fan my entire life. I like to think of it as two separate fandoms. I was a fan as a kid growing up, a huge fan. I would say up until probably somewhere in middle school, I kind of got away from it.
So about the time you actually discovered girls.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. That's probably it, actually. And then once I got to college, I moved into Stevens Point in 2010. One of my neighbors had it on TV, and I sat and watched it. Had Raw on television, and I sat down and watched it, and it turned into an every-week thing, and I fell in love with it more than I did when I was a kid.
All right.
And now I'm a bigger fan than ever.
So going from being a fan to a wrestler, what was that moment you decided yourself, like, I can do this?
It was a very slow decision, I guess, mm-hmm. to get into it. Basically, over the course of time, it was watching it more and more and becoming as much of an internet fan as I turned into.
Okay, so what's one of the websites you actually go to then?
I'm on Reddit all the time.
Right, that's nice. I love it.
It was probably the best thing to happen to my fandom. And then slowly but surely, just kind of like, I should give this a shot. And I was only a WWE fan. I was never at an indie show before I showed up at that show and didn't know who anybody was at all before I showed up there, which was probably a good thing looking back. And if you had to place on one thing, it was probably the CM Punk documentary when that got released.
Okay.
And I saw the stuff with him and Hiro and the stuff with him and Samoa Joe. It's just, this indie wrestling seems like it can be really cool. I should find out if I can do this or not. And I'm still finding that out, but...
You know, that's a kind of a cool story, man, because, you know, I came from the same background where when I kind of broke into the biz as far as the broadcasting aspect, I didn't really, you know, I didn't know what indie wrestling was, I didn't know what Japan was, I didn't know what anything was, and then all of a sudden you find out that there's all this other stuff, and how surreal is it, I mean, that just, you know, a year ago you were, you know, just bumping around the ring, and now, I mean, you're getting booked, you're here on Grapple Talk, I mean, how weird is that for you?
It's surreal. I'm completely living a dream. I started training officially at the Dojo of Pain with Shane Hills in late October-ish.
Okay.
Once I, you know, made the contacts and figured out how this actually worked. And then I started this summer having my first pro wrestling match. And this past weekend, I ended my summer with my first ever double shot weekend and working for two promotions that I've never worked for before. So it's been a really solid summer so far. And I'm really excited to see where it goes. No idea where it's going to go, if it's going to go anywhere, but I'm having a blast doing it.
Well, let's talk about this summer. So you started off with your first match ever against Sadus. Now, a lot of people really can't say that they can have their debut match against a guy like Sadus, who is a remarkable talent across the Midwest, you know, doesn't matter where you're looking. And then, of course, you're wrapping up this weekend. You were teaming up with guys like Nathan Gus. You were ringside for his match against Jordy Lee. You were in an ACW Rookie Showcase. And I got to ask, you know, how does it feel to just have all these tremendous opportunities? You know, it's a lot of luck.
I feel so lucky. It's completely amazing what's happened. I didn't expect it to go this way at all. And from the day I showed up my first day at camp, I was thinking, like, you know, this is where this ends. I'm going to go up to camp, realize what it is, and then it's going to be over.
That's true.
It's been crazy. Putting in the hard work and having people reward me like they have with, you know, helping me out and showing that I want to learn this. I'm completely fascinated by every aspect of this. The more and more I learn, I'm just in awe of, like, the science that goes in, the art form behind pro wrestling. And before I even started getting in the business, I think I had advantage. I think it was the right kind of fan. Like, I liked the art form behind it. That made me like it more once I grew up and realized it was quote-unquote fake.
Right.
You know, as much as that word, I hate that word. It's an easy way to put it. That didn't, you know, turn me off to it at all. That made it cooler for me. I did not expect my debut to go the way it did.
I don't think anybody did. I'll be honest. I was watching that, and I'm like, oh, man, I know all about Sadis. He's going to just kill Max Bride. And all of a sudden, I saw you just get the pin. Like, I was in shock, and I watched it on the internet.
I was in shock when it happened, too. When I first told I was having a debut, I was on cloud nine. Regardless, I was like, okay, I'm going to go into the ring, get beat up for a little bit, and I'm going to take a loss, and it's going to be awesome. I'm going to wrestle in front of a crowd. That's so cool.
Right.
Then I found out I was getting a few moves in. I was like, oh, really? No way. I get to do some moves? Cool. And then I won, and I owe it all to Shane Hills, Stacy Shadows, and Steve Sadis. Those three, I would consider myself under that branch. Stacy Shadows come to camp as much as she does, helping me at shows because Shane doesn't come to as many shows anymore. Stacy is almost like, kind of like Shane at the shows. You know, they have the same point of view on things every match, giving me feedback. I love it. I'm so grateful. They have no obligation to do that. Steve being as cool as he's been to me. Stacy's been more forthright about it and more a little more obvious about like taking me under her wing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Sadis realizes it or not, but I'm trying to force myself under his wing. I love talking to him. I owe everything to those three. It's been crazy. And this is the first thing I've ever done in my life where I feel like, you know, if you work hard and you're willing to learn, I got rewarded. Obviously, the tickets I sold had something to do with it, too. But that's one of those things, like, you want something, you make it happen. And here I am.
You know, man, it's a really cool story. And it's cool because a lot of times we have a lot of vets on here. Like, we've had guys that have been in the business 20-plus years, 10-plus years, you know, double-digit years. We're bringing you on, and it sounds like you got an interesting story, and it's kind of cool just learning, picking the brain of a guy that's been in the business and had that success. You know, and you're talking about how Sadis, Stacy, Shane Hills, you're kind of just talking about how you're kind of like piggybacking on these guys, learning everything you can. And over the past couple of weeks, that's what we learned in the spotlight. What's important is young guys picking the brains of these vets, and you know how important you think that is to your development as a wrestler.
It's everything. That and being in, you know, the athletic shape that you need to be in to do it. More importantly, just learning everything there is to learn. It's such a unique culture and a unique thing. You know, you can't Google the stuff that I'm learning. You can't look at it somewhere in a book and study it. It's not a science. It's an art. Everybody's got differing opinions, which has been somewhat of a struggle because there's no black and white, I believe, in pro wrestling. It's all, you know, gray area. So I'm trying to take that, force it in my own, you know, have my own ideas. Shane likes to say that he's giving us tools to put in our toolbox. It's up to us to make what we want out of it. And I'm trying to make the best possible thing I can out of my tools. It's when someone says something that like kind of like clicks in your head, like, oh, that's what you mean by that. It's fascinating. I'm obsessed with this, learning about this.
Yeah.
So well right spoken. Now you're very much like in that zone where once one light bulb comes on, there's like two other ones, and it starts snowballing. And it's just like click, 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 click.
Yeah, I'm definitely not there yet, but slowly but surely, I can get there. I have no reason to believe I can't yet.
Yeah. How was your experience at the Dojo of Pain? I know we haven't had an opportunity to actually have Shane on the show and pick his brains about it, but can you kind of give us like a heads up of what exactly is every, like, I don't know, training session at the Dojo like?
It's a mix of, you know, bumping, learning moves, working matches, and athletic drills before and the end of every camp, you know, blow-up drills, you know, just to make sure you have what it takes to do it. And I believe once, it's kind of been like now that I've shown that I've been around going to camps long enough where, you know, he wants this, he's here. The beatings have kind of eaten up, lightened up a little bit, and now it's more, Shane's very big, Shane and Stacy are very big into camp is what you make of it.
Yep.
You know, and now I'm getting more and more comfortable with going to camps on Sundays, and, you know, can we do this today? You know, I want to learn this. It's still kind of weird for me to do that because I don't want to, you know, I feel like I'm walking in there and telling him what we're going to do today. But I think that's what he likes and, you know, he wants to do what I want to learn. And all the other people at camp too, not just me. But yeah, they're fun. I wrestle every weekend, that's for sure. So that's cool.
So let's back up. You were talking about putting in the hard work and having a lot of payoff for it. And, I mean, what better example than just in this whole situation where you're sitting here today with these fan choose the spotlight. You know, when we were talking earlier about throwing your hat in the vote, you seem kind of unsure. You figured, you know, okay, Adam Pearce was for sure going to win. I'm not going to have a shot in hell. And sure enough, just week after week, it was just more votes. You got closer and closer. You were neck and neck with Adam Pearce. And then all it took was just one more day, and then you were two votes ahead. And then 10, and then 20, and you just decimated the voting process with it. And a lot of that has just been your connection to your fan base. You know, we saw a lot of shares from friends and family alike. And how does that feel just to know that all your hard work, it really is paying off like that?
It's a really good feeling to know that people, like, in my life, other than the wrestling, you know, culture, like, are supporting me. I was very hesitant to do this. You know, my name, I talked to a few people, like, should I do this? You know, is this going to be a bad idea? And the general opinion was, why not? You know, go do it. Like you said before, I think from your guys' perspective, you know, having a rookie on who's so new and so naive, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, a young perspective on things. I saw that Nathan Gus commented when I won and said, you know, he doesn't have any bad stories that go with pro wrestling yet, which is true. I don't. I'm a kid in a candy store. It's awesome, and I have no complaints at all about it yet. I've had struggles here and there, but nothing that at the end of the day isn't a good thing. I was like, okay, I'm going to go do Grapple Talk. I'm going to throw my name in that hat. And then I kind of started getting close to Adam Pearce, and I got hesitant to do so. I got really scared. I was like, you know what? I'm content with taking second. That's cool. Get the Max Pride PR, the name a little bit out there, and then Adam can have the interview. Then I stopped rallying votes, and it turned out that I won, so... You guys should get Pearce on, though, because I feel guilty.
Oh, we're definitely going to get him on here. For everybody listening, we're planning to get him on for episode 50. So that should be exciting.
Spoiler, yeah. You just ruined it for everybody. Nobody's going to care about episodes 41 through 49.
But they're going to look forward
just
to episode
kidding.
50.
I'm just joshing
hey, dude,
you.
You totally broke kayfabe.
You broke kayfabe.
Your face broke kayfabe.
Wow. He just went there. Wow. No, but let's talk about Max Pride a little bit. Let's have a little fun with this. So you're newer, from a perspective of a guy just breaking into the business, you know, where does the gimmick come from? Where does all that kind of stuff come from?
Thinking of a name and exactly who I want to be has probably been the most frustrating part of this.
Yeah.
I don't know who I want to be / what my capabilities would, what character I should be,
right.
You know, that I could succeed the best at. It's still a work in progress right now. I think I'm the underdog babyface rookie who's trying to make a name for himself.
Right.
And I do believe the best characters, it's a cliche saying, but are just regular people's personality turned up to an 11. Ideally, in a perfect world one day, I want to be the biggest, slimiest douchebag heel the world's ever seen, judging by when I get some alcohol in my system every now and then, and I get my mouth going. I've had a lot of people tell me the next day, you know, one of these days you're gonna mouth off to the wrong guy and end up with a broken jaw. So I think maybe if I could do that and find a way to consciously do that and do it well, I think I could. I would like to think that one day, in a perfect world, people would want to buy a ticket to see me get beat up.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Which is always like that strange dream, because like everyone wants to be the hero at some point in time, but once you get into wrestling, it seems like you want to be the villain.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun, and it gives you a lot more freedom to do what you want. I've had very, very, very limited experience being heel, but I could get into it. Judging from that, it could be a really good time. And being a face, a good guy at this point, it's very, you know, rah-rah, come on, let's, you know.
Yep.
I feel like it's kind of all the same.
Right.
For the most part, but whereas a heel, I feel you can go so many different ways with it to make people mad. And getting a platform to completely be the biggest jerk in the world sounds like a lot of fun.
Right.
You don't get to do that in many places.
You know, let's talk about that a little bit. You know, we talk about the gimmick and developing it. And, you know, a lot of people remember you when you started off as being Simba. And, you know, that we alluded to that when we went to break. You know, we played in some of The Lion King, of course. So
you did.
We did.
Okay. So, you know, they're dicks like that. It was my.
It's okay.
Don't play innocent.
We don't get sued for stuff yet, so we can do stuff like that.
But anyway, so you know, back in Green Bay, we talked about the name change. So just for Jesse and Nick's sake, you know, why go from Simba to Max Pride? What was the logic behind that?
This is probably the biggest thing so far where I honestly don't know. I see some red flags behind the Simba thing. I thought it was a solid idea when I first thought of it, which I kind of came up with it. Like, right around the time I showed up at my first show, I knew that, you know, if I want to do this, I need to figure out who I'm going to be. The Lion King was on TV one day. I saw it for the first time. I've seen it. since I was a kid, and I watched it. I was like, Simba's kind of a badass. he's kind of a cool dude. And then I had this idea, and this is where Stacy and Shane and Sadis come into play. They were very hesitant toward it right away when I first pitched it to them, but my idea was basically I wanted to be, you know, a lion in this jungle, and I'm not king yet, but one day, however long it is down the road, you know, I will be, but I'm not yet. I'm a baby lion. I'm Simba, little old Simba, you know, who's
right.
running into the graveyard and
hanging out
yelled
with
at from his
Timon
dad.
And Pumbaa and
yeah. you know.
Wow, what a cool gimmick that would be. You should have had, like, the tag team behind you named Timon and Pumbaa. It would work out perfect.
You thought about that already.
Oh, yeah, I had a whole plan.
He's already had a real-life Timon and Pumbaa. I mean, he's been taken under the reign of some of the best right now. Right. So.
And they were, you know, it was basically understood that, like, there are a lot of red flags behind it as far as, is it your own? Or are you just taking a movie and using that?
Yeah, we've seen that before where, like, people would come up with, like, they would be Denim or something like that. And it's so much like you're taking away from a trademark character. And if things go your way further down the line, you want to be able to trademark your own name.
Yeah, and it was, like, kind of got to the point. I worked a few matches under it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the, you know, the guys with more experience in the locker room, you know, weren't real fond of it. And, you know, I talked to those guys and stuff. Pretty much everybody in the locker room I, you know, got tips and pointers from. And I'm just trusting that the people who have taken me under their wing when they said, you know, it's time to scratch that idea, I believe them. You know, I trust that they have my best interest in mind. And maybe, you know, then I came up with Max Pride, which was hard enough just thinking of a name. First names, last names, and
right.
I just put them all together, and I thought Max Pride would work well. A nice little play on words, a lot I can do with it.
Really good right. play on words.
Yeah.
And I like Max Pride a lot.
Yeah.
I think I can run with it. I've gotten compliments from a few people now who I really don't have a relationship with just come up to me and be like, hey, I think it was a really good idea that you changed that.
Yeah.
You know, in the nicest way possible. And
that's
the moment where I'm like, okay, you know, that was the best decision. And the more I think about it, I still think about the Simba thing a lot just because of my pride and, you know, it was my idea. But the more and more I see, like, why it was, you know, not the best idea. Who knows? Maybe one day, however long down the road, I can somehow subtly call back to that once I'm smarter about, you know, I know more.
Yeah.
More knowledge.
Well, we're kind of wrapping up a little bit, but I got to ask you. You were, you know, Simba however many months ago. And I remember actually on Grapple Talk, we talked about Simba at one point. We were talking about how impressive Simba was at the time. Then all of a sudden, we know you as Max Pride. I got to know, man, you know, where do you see yourself in 5 years? What's your goal? What are you setting out to do?
I'm achieving all of these goals faster than I've ever expected. You know, even having a pro wrestling match in front of a crowd, people coming to see me was, I don't know if I'd ever would have saw that day. Whatever happens from here on out, May 9th, my debut on May 9th, no matter what, made it worth it. No matter what happens after this, how far I go, if for some reason this ends tomorrow and I never step in a ring again, that was amazing in every way, shape, and form. But now that it hasn't ended yet, I want to be the best possible professional wrestler I can be. I have no reason to believe that I can't be very, very good at this yet. I'm not good at all yet. I have so much to learn. But people like Matt Winchester, you know, after a match, asking him to watch my match and coming to the back and him pinpointing very, very fine details about things I need to improve on, things that look bad, is so cool because he has no obligation to do that.
Yeah.
And the way he, you know, goes so into detail with things I'm doing is, you know that he's not just half watching it. You know, a guy with his knowledge and his experience, simply taking the time to help me out is a huge confidence booster. Anytime I get a compliment from somebody who isn't, you know, obliged to do so is so cool. And I'm absolutely in love with professional wrestling. The more and more I learn about it, I think it's the coolest thing in the world. It blows my mind how it's not more mainstream.
Well, man, I don't know if there's not a better way to end it.
I got one thing.
You got what the hell, man?
I got one way to wrap it up. So we talked about Simba, Timon, and Pumbaa. So in your opinion, if you could choose the stable, who would be your Timon and who would be your Pumbaa?
Okay, here was my idea. I'm Simba, right? Timon, I would need a smaller guy, right?
Yeah.
Smaller,
yeah.
Quote-unquote, weasel type guy.
Yeah,
meerkat, but yeah.
And I would need a bigger guy for Pumbaa.
Right.
Wait. Because I think I know where you're going with this one.
What better two people than the Grizzled Young Vets?
Boom!
Nice.
That's what I would have said.
I was imagining, like, promos where, like, it would never be addressed that's what we were going for, but just, like, those two giving me advice, you know, filming videos backstage.
Would you guys do musical numbers too?
We could. I don't know which one of us would sing, but I could see definitely Nate and Jordy Lee dancing. They tend to do that a lot when they were the GYV. But Yeah. All in all, I guess I didn't really answer the question. 5 years from now, I want to be an asset to any promotion. I want people to say, you know, Max Pride, we like having him around for any reason. I want to be an asset and a benefit just because I think this is so cool. Getting this, you know, even it's just my friends, but more people liking professional wrestling in general. Like, they came to the show, and obviously they were there to see me. My first question was, like, did you guys have fun regardless of that?
Yeah.
You know, even if I wasn't there, and everyone had so much fun at that show. I'm like, I told you guys.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Wrestling is as fun as you make it. And independent wrestling, it's such a unique, cool culture. I can't get enough of it, and I'm really excited to see where this goes. I don't know where, but I'm excited, and I want to be the best I can possibly be.
Well, Simba, Max Pride, Colin, whatever you want to call you, all I can say is you got a really good head on your shoulders, man. You are one really well-spoken motherfucker, and I really appreciate you coming on, man. I'm going to shake your hand. That was
great. That's why I came
He's
in
got
studio.
A gimmick. He just, you know, cusses.
Yeah, that's my gimmick, actually, on the show.
I didn't know we could cuss. I was holding back.
Well, you did a very good job.
Yeah.
We wish you the best
like
of luck
interview,
in
yeah.
everything that you do, man. It was good having you on.
Thank you very much. It was fun. Can I come back?
You can definitely come back.
Town?
Only
just
when you get more famous,
yeah.
though. You have, we have to wait a little bit.
Wow. Yeah. Way to be a dick. Or a douche.
Oh, it's okay.
Oh, high five. And never mind. Well, that was Max Pride for episode number 40. We got Wrestler's Perspective coming up right after this.
Why do I love professional wrestling? I love the incredible action.
The awesome stories.
The larger-than-life characters.
I've been watching wrestling since I was a little kid. And believe me, it's been a long time.
It's good triumphing over evil.
It's having a hero to cheer for and a villain to boo.
It's something that can bring the whole family together.
So who does this stuff? Who is wrestling?
It's the wrestlers who chase their dreams to make it from the couch to the square circle. The ref, the managers,
and the commentators who add to the spectacle.
It's the fans who bring their energy,
their passion, and their love to the arenas.
Who am I?
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 I am wrestling.
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 Who am I?
I am wrestling.
This movement is a worldwide movement. I Am Wrestling represents you, the wrestlers, you, the fans, and you, the wrestling company, worldwide. Wait no longer. Join now.
Wow, guys, a great interview there with Max Pride. Definitely this young rookie's got a lot of potential. I'd love to see where he goes in the future.
Well, yeah. Definitely. I mean, you look at a guy like Max Pride, and then in his short career, he has really established a really good fan base and a good marketing plan. I mean, we talked with Gregory Iron about that a couple episodes ago, about how important that is to let people know where you're going to be.
Yeah, it was really exciting. Good for him, too. I mean, being on our episode number 40, you got to hear a different perspective of the wrestling business. We like to bring out veterans, guys that have been around the business for quite some time. It was kind of nice to hear fresh opinion from a guy that's just breaking in, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. A story doesn't necessarily have to be over a course of a decade. It could very well just be there for 6 months, and it still could just be as entertaining and informative as anything else. Speaking of informative,
put on your bifocals. It's Wrestler's Perspective.
This week on Wrestler's Perspective, I got a question for you, AC Riley. I always wanted to know this one. We talked about it earlier in the show, but why do wrestlers bring a second gear or gimmick to a show?
You know, that's a good question. Sometimes it is just to kind of stay unique. For me, on top of having a second gimmick, I also like to have a couple different things of gear, because I've actually had promoters tell me, hey, I like that you have different stuff going on. I mean, perfect example, when I was working for Rock and Roll Wrestling before things got crazy with them.
Kurt, with them or their owner?
Well, with their owner.
Okay.
Kurt Otterholt of MEW, he had said to me, you know, hey, I've seen some of your tapes. You know, I enjoy that you have multiple gear. You don't just blend in with just one thing. You know, you kind of stand out. You can make things a little bit different than the Joe Schmo that just has black trunks and he wears that for like 6 years.
So here's what I want to know then. So do you bring it more just to stay on task? Because I notice sometimes, I mean, when I'm on road trips with you guys, you'll bring just giant freaking suitcase that is just disgustingly huge. And it's like,
it's not that
it's
huge.
Like, dude, why it's do you a need- coffin. It's like, a child's
it's a,
coffin.
It's a child's coffin. That's how big it is.
Says the guy that eats baby burritos.
Yeah, well, you know what? That was delicious. Well,
you're getting off topic, AC Riley. Yeah. Again, I'm going to have to put you in a crippler crossface and kill you with a Bible. I don't. Sorry about that. But anyways, no, but seriously. So, I mean, but why bring the masks and everything like that? Is that just, I just don't, is it just because it's a traveling suitcase and you always have all that stuff or what?
Well, I think sometimes, too, I mean, we've seen it, like, many occasions. We have, like, guys like Derek Cobain who have a ton of different colors for their gear. It's the same thing, just multiple colors. I mean, you get it at the last minute, be told to put yourself in a tag match. And, of course, if you're tagging, you want to kind of match with your partner. So a lot of times Derek will, you know, ask the guy who what kind of gear they have. And if he has, okay, I have, you know, black and red gear. Oh, I have something like that, too. We can kind of look like we are a little bit more legitimate as a tag team. We look good as a tag team instead of just, oh, I'm wearing black and red. Well, I'm wearing, like, white. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so that actually still makes sense. You can wear them together because, like, almost anything goes well with black and white, some of those other colors.
Okay, maybe those were the wrong colors to say, but you get what I was trying to say.
But here's how you can make yourself look legit as a tag team. Come out together instead of separate.
Oh, yeah, yep. You do that, too.
Yeah,
that also worked
as
out well.
As simple as possible, but I don't know if it's just an ego thing. You got to hear your music, and you got to go, come on, lacrosse, or whatever
probably.
It is. You know, I don't know.
Probably. But anyways, that's it for this week's Wrestler's Perspective. If there's ever a question you want to ask AC Riley or have us ask him, you can always hashtag Ask Grapple Talk. That is a totally different segment that I'm bringing that up in, but that's okay. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheGrappleTalk, or on Twitter. Our handle is @TheGrappleTalk. Right now it's time for our tape study. Jesse, take it away.
If you're a die-hard wrestling fan, look no further. Here's Tape Study with Jesse Von Ruden.
Tape Study this week. Guys, like last week, we actually covered Lucha Libre. This week, we're going to cover some tag team wrestling. I was able to find a gem that I didn't even know actually had occurred.
What's that?
Really, like, the Rock and Roll Express, one of the biggest teams of the 80s.
Uh-huh.
Taking out another one of the biggest teams of the 80s, the British Bulldogs.
Oh,
it's from
okay.
1989. The quality of the footage is not the best. The match is phenomenal, though. It's a great story because you're taking two babyface teams and they actually have them collide.
Yeah.
Rock and Roll Express, usually very much of the high-flying type of tag team. The British Bulldogs at this point in time, very a bruiser Japanese type of style. It's good to see both of these clashes of styles. And, yeah, plus Dynamite Kid's in it. He's one of my favorites of all time. And Ricky Morton's in it. He's one of the best tag wrestlers of all time. And it's an education on film that you get to watch for about 30 minutes.
Oh, so Dynamite Kid's one. I always thought you said 1-2-3 Kid was one of your favorites of all time.
No, I do thoroughly enjoy the 1-2-3 Kid, too. And
oh, okay.
His mullet and his... Yeah.
Six-pack.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why I always got X-Pac confused with that. But anyways, yep. That's it for this week's tape study. And, yeah, Grapple Talk is coming to a close. Episode 40, guys. It'll be a very short time until we're at episode 50, 60, 70, 80.
85.
90. And then the big 100. That'd be crazy when we get that high.
That would be nuts.
That would be nuts.
Yeah, come on. That's like next year.
That is like next year. AC yeah, Riley, yeah. Closing comments.
Just be looking for the new logo.
Ooh, it caught you off guard. So you had that prepared, and you still got caught off guard
true.
A little bit.
You didn't catch me off
guard.
Is
the new logo extreme?
I don't know. Maybe it is.
Is it hardcore?
You have to...
Is it wrapped in barbed wire?
Is it wrapped in barbed wire,
I don't
dude?
Know if there's any barbed wire, but
is
shout out
on
to...
Is fire? Spot.
Is it on fire?
I don't know any of that. You have to just wait and see to see what it's on. It's going to be on the Facebook page. And big shout out to Spot Monkey Media for helping us out with that.
Yeah, Spot Monkey Media helping us out, hooking us up, and also challenging you to the Ice Pick Challenge. You then challenged me and Jesse a few weeks ago.
That was fun.
That was fun. I think it was very cold. I had very hard nipples after that.
Cold.
Yes. So that's it for Grapple Talk this week. We'll catch you. We'll catch you, Wrestle Nuts. We gotta think of a name to call our fans. Grapple Nuts.
I don't know
grapple.
If I like that.
Grapple Nuts.
Grapple Nuts.
I'm gonna grapple. Those
I'm gonna
nuts.
Grapple those nuts, brother. I'm gonna grapple those nuts so hard, brother.
I don't know. I don't know. We could come up with a name.
Call us something else. How about Cheeseheads? Is that taken?
I think that's taken.
Yeah, taken.
Is that taken? Oh, well, that's it for Grapple Talk. We'll figure that out for next week. You've been listening.
Grapple Junkies.
Grapple Junkies. We already have
nice.
It. Yep. You Grapple Junkies. Thanks for joining us for episode 40. We'll catch you on 41. Stay classy. Well, hey, guys. Next week, we are sitting down with Tommy Spider Baby Saturday, a guy that we've seen, you know, plenty of times. It's going to be very exciting to sit down with him and talk to him on our Spotlight Squared Circle segment.
Well, Spider Baby, definitely one of the more flamboyant characters of the Midwest independent scene. He's a great mind. I can't wait to pick it next week on Gravel Talk.
Pick his mind.
You're going to pick a spider's mind?
You're pick
yeah.
a spider's mind.
It's fun. You ever done that before?
No. But, of course, Tommy Saturday's been around the block hell of a lot of times. Yep. It's going to be interesting to see how he got started in the business, what keeps him in the business, and where we can see him further down the line.
Yeah, speaking of further down the line, you always want to shoot us a line on Facebook or Twitter. You can follow us facebook.com/TheGrappleTalk or on Twitter at the Grapple Talk. That's how you can look us up on social media. AC okay. Riley, closing comments on the preview for next week.
I don't know.
Gotcha.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
I would say the traditional one. something like that. I don't know.
What was that?
I don't know.
Beatboxing by AC Riley, not available in stores for good reason.
With Nick Ragner, AC Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
Dream Police were able to, Dick Smash, too many D's in my head. Dick Smash was able to pick up the victory partially.
Oh, this show just got rated PG-13, man.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.